Doctors across British Columbia are being asked to ratify a new physician-master agreement by July 23rd. Our next guest is urging his fellow physicians to reject the agreement due to what he calls his glaring flaws. Criticisms of the agreement include that it will further centralize the healthcare system and will increase bureaucratic costs. Will a deal ever be reached? Dr. Zafar Essek is a current member of the BC Medical Association, and he served on the BCMA board for some time, so he's very familiar with the issues, and he joins me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Good.
You're a practicing physician.
I am.
In general practice.
That's right.
Why are you opposed to this agreement?
Well, I think this is an agreement that's going to be bad for all of us, for patients, for doctors, and for all taxpayers. And I think that because what we're seeing in the agreement, first of all, the agreement itself is not what was sent out to the doctors for ratification. They received a ballot along with the highlight sheets, four pages of highlights, and a president's letter recommending they accept the agreement. You had to download the agreement. And when you download the agreement, it is 205 pages. That's a big, heavy read, and it's a lot of legalese.
And I'm guessing that a lot of doctors would look at the highlights, wouldn't take the time to read the full agreement.
Or even download it.
Yeah.
In fact, I spoke to some board directors, and they told me that they had received a presentation on the agreement, that they themselves hadn't even read it. So here they are sending this out for the members to ratify, and they themselves haven't even read it. I don't even know if Dr. Shelley Ross has read the agreement. I plowed through it, and I read the agreement, and there is no doubt in my mind that this agreement is going to further increase administration and bureaucracy in healthcare. And trying to identify exactly what those numbers are is very difficult to do. But I've taken a look, and I've added up the numbers that are on the BC government's 2012 budget website. I've added into that just two line items that have to do with benefits and executive offices. And I've added into that the numbers that are at the health authority websites that show their corporate line item for each of the six health authorities. And that gets you to $1.39 billion. And that doesn't even add in all of the managers and administrators at the hospitals and on the ward levels and in the clinics. So we know it's a lot more than that. I was speaking to a researcher a few years ago who was trying to find out how much money is being spent on administration. And he found that the databases the government has all kind of funnel into one deep database. And that one would have confirmed what they were finding. And he couldn't get access to that database, even when he tried to get through the BC Commissioner of Privacy.
I'm finding there's a real disconnect here between what some doctors are telling me and what the BC government claims. Recently, the anesthesiologists were claiming substantial numbers in administration. The government said, no, that was not accurate, that our administration costs were among the lowest in Canada. You're telling me that the government spends $1.39 billion on healthcare administration, and over the past 3 years, that administration budget has increased by 28%.
Yes, and then they'll come out, as they did today in The Sun, and tell us that, well, that's not just administration, it's overhead and it's benefits or whatever else it is. The bottom line is this is money that is not going to the delivery of patient care. And that is the real issue for me.
You tell me that we are now spending almost as much on administrators and managers as we pay for all physician services.
Yes, when I was talking to this researcher a few years ago, he was telling me that his findings were indicating that the amount being spent on administration not involved with patient care was about 18% of the health budget. And the amount that's been spent on doctor services has been about 22% and remains at that. So that's getting pretty close. Now, I have no way of verifying it, but I know from working in healthcare, there are a lot of administrators and managers. And when you try to get something done now as a provider, you have to put your ideas forward, but that's not enough. It goes through committees and other layers of management and may never get attended to. So I think that's the real issue, and it is affecting care. Every day I hear about it. Last week, I heard about two cases. One of them was an internist up in northern BC, and he had a patient with a very high white blood cell count, and he was trying to figure out what was going on. He spoke to a specialist in Vancouver and wanted to send the slide down, and the health authority up there wouldn't authorize sending the slide down, and yet what they are doing is they are paying somebody to go around and weigh the soap dispensers to determine and graph how much hand washing is being done. And I had another case where I was talking to...
No, but wait a minute. I want to understand this. The doctor wanted to send a slide to confirm information about blood cells.
To get help in diagnosing what was going on.
And that had to go through some kind of bureaucratic process?
Well, this is what he was saying, that this was not being authorized by the health authorities in northern B.C.
This is, why would it have to be authorized? The doctor wants further information? I mean, it just seems astonishing to me that there would be a bureaucracy that would be involved in allowing a doctor to make that kind of a call.
I was astonished by it, and it was one of the things that was shared on our Doc Lounge listserv that doctors share information with each other on. I was astonished. And the other thing that astonished me, I was trying to sort out for a patient who's been waiting for surgery where this patient is on a wait list. So I was speaking to the receptionist, and the receptionist told me that their surgeon wait list had grown in the last couple of months, and it wasn't because of the anesthesia issue at all. It was for two reasons. One of the reasons was that the surgeon's OR time had been cut in half, so it was only one day a week, and it gets filled with trauma cases, which are urgent. But the other thing which was astounding is that her office now, his office as a surgeon, only gets the OR schedule 1 month ahead at a time now, even though they used to get it 3 months, and the 3 month schedule is known. But they're only given 1 month at a time. So when they're trying to book surgeries, they can't fine-tune the booking, so they can't get as many cases done. And that was another thing that just astounded me, that even though they know what the schedule is, they're making some managerial, administrative decision to only parcel out the schedule 1 month at a time. So we are seeing changes that are impacting on patient care, and at the same time as we're seeing more and more being spent on health care. Now, as far as the other problems with this agreement is, I think it lacks fair representation. In the agreement, the BCMA and the BC government are allowing the BCMA to represent all the doctors in the province, whether or not they're members of the BCMA, and the BCMA is making... All the government are making no effort whatsoever to allow doctors who have chosen to leave the BCMA or not be a member. Those doctors cannot vote. Only the doctors who are members of the BCMA are allowed to vote, and yet the BCMA claims to be representing all doctors.
But you are a member.
Oh, I'm a member.
How many doctors would not be?
Well, I don't know that number.
But would it be a large number?
The BCMA claims it's not, and they would have better access. They claim it's about 10%. You have to remember that doctors have to receive benefits. Those are channeled, even though they're part of the agreement, to receive them, they have to get them through the BCMA. And what the BCMA has been doing has been charging them the equivalent of membership dues just to receive the benefits that they're already entitled to. So people have to be very strongly motivated to leave the BCMA and not have a voice and yet still pay the BCMA.
So it sounds to me like you stay in order to at least have a voice.
I'd like to think I have a voice, and I appreciate this opportunity to express my voice.
Talking with Dr. Zafar Essak, a member of the BCMA, but a member who is recommending that his fellow doctors not accept the new contract negotiated by the BCMA with the BC government. And I welcome your calls, questions, comments. I'd love to hear from other doctors. Talking with Dr. Zafar Essak, a member of the BC Medical Association, but not a happy member of the BCMA. He is concerned about the contract that is being proposed. Negotiated by the BCMA with the provincial government. He talked about a lack of fair representation a moment or two ago. He also says the new agreement includes further centralization and control in the healthcare system. And Dr. Essak, you say the new agreement essentially muzzles health professionals who will not be able to speak up for the safety of patients in the province.
Yes, I think that's what's going to happen. Already under the existing PMA, if doctors have any concerns or issues that they want to see changes made, they are obliged to take it through the mechanisms that the BCMA and the government and the health authorities have established. So they have to take their concerns through the committees and whatever other layers of committees that has to go through. And it's very difficult for them to get through all of that and get anything done. And in fact, we heard the anesthesiologist tell us that they finally reached a point where they had exhausted all possibilities and took it to the public. Well, now, in this new agreement, the Physician Services Committee, that is the one that is going to be at the head of all of these committees that have been outlined in this 205-page document, it will control all communications. You have to have permission from the Physician Services Committee to be able to communicate any concerns. So that will essentially muzzle the doctors from saying anything.
You mean you wouldn't be able to come on this program and express the concerns you're expressing today?
Well, if I did, I would be breaking the agreement, and I would be doing it out of the sense of what is right in our democracy, as I am now.
Yes.
We have to have the freedom to speak. But also the people who will head that committee, it's made of six people. One of them will be the Deputy Minister of Health, Graham Whitmarsh, and the other one will be the BCMA CEO. And the new CEO is Alan Seckle, who not very long ago was the Deputy Premier to Gordon Campbell. So I think it's very important for doctors, you know, we take our oath seriously, and, you know, we're not going to let bureaucrats and administrators tell us that, you know, what we can and cannot say. So I think it's very important for the public that we be permitted to be able to speak out when there are concerns.
Mike, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I completely appreciate with what the guest is trying to say here, completely. But at the same time, I think there should be a body that scrutinizes what these doctors are trying to do. Maybe there's some doctors that just feel that they need to have an open checkbook and spend whatever it takes to, you know, to help patients out, when in fact it might be just a waste of money.
It's not about the money. You know, when we're spending so much on administration and management, we should be spending it on patient care. In this agreement, another place that's not fairly represented is how much money did not get spent that was supposed to already have been spent on patient care that is being held. The BCMA itself is holding $53.5 million in its bank account because it hasn't been able to spend it on the computerization initiative that they were putting forward. They weren't taken up by the doctors as they thought they would be. And there is another $109 million that is sitting there that should have gone to patient care. So what we're really talking about here is allowing the money to flow to patient care. I'm not looking for more money for doctors. I'm looking for money to go to the delivery of patient care.
And you're concerned that there is too much money being eaten up by administration and bureaucracy.
Yes, it's, you know, we hear the government tell us all the time that the cost of healthcare is continuing to rise and it's going to be beyond the means of government to pay. And I think that that's nonsense. We have to stop that tax train and we have to say, look, there's a better way to do this. Let's, you know, if we don't do something, the wheels are going to fall off and we need to rearrange what we're doing with all of this extra load on the system.
Ed, good morning.
I guess I have two questions. When Gordon Campbell took over the Liberal government, I got the impression there was sort of another layer of administration was sort of established. And I guess in conjunction with that comment, I mean, I've heard Michael Campbell and other people make a note that when you compare our healthcare system across the country versus other, you know, efficient systems, our administration costs are 10 times what they are. So, I mean, what the doctor is saying seems to bear out, you know, this fact.
It may be. Certainly what we see on the ground working in healthcare is that there is a lot of administration and management. We see that the halls of our hospitals, instead of being places where care is delivered, have become corridors of offices.
The caller was making a political comment when he talked about this coming in with the Campbell administration. Is there any validity to that?
Well, we've seen, even prior to that, we saw the health reforms when the NDP were in, and that's when I was working on with the BCMA, served on the BCMA, and we identified the concerns then that have hit critical proportions now, that administration was likely to keep increasing, it would interfere with patient care, and that the input of doctors was diminishing.
So you've seen a dramatic change. How long have you been doctoring?
A little over 30 years.
And you've seen a dramatic change in the way you're able to do your job?
Absolutely. And also it impedes in terms of satisfaction. When you've got all these additional external pressures in terms of administrative, different forms that have to be filled out to satisfy government programs, rather than just focusing on the delivery of care, it makes you wonder why you stay in.
You gave one example of a doctor in the north wanting to send a slide about blood cells to a specialist in the city. I'm still surprised at the fact that that would have to go through some. The doctor would have to receive some kind of bureaucratic permission to do that.
Well,
in fact, it was denied.
Well, we would need to speak directly to that physician. He's an internist, and that's what he shared with the rest of the doctors in our group. I think one of the difficulties that we find here is that with all these problems going on, we find that the government, it's like author Eli Sopo said, when organizations are in trouble, some of them resort to the 3D defense. They deny there's a problem, they delay doing anything about it, and then they discredit or destroy people who would speak out. We've seen the government doing that. We've seen the same from the BCMA. Now, the BCMA is confident this agreement's going to go through. Well, they don't care if all of the doctors in the province vote on this. They'll be happy if 30% vote on this. And if 51% or more pass it, they will strut that out as demonstrating that they are doing good things representing all the doctors in the province. What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to reach out and trying to get all of the doctors in the province to look at this agreement and decide if this is really what we as a profession and as what we as the public want to see in healthcare, because I don't think we do. And if we can reach out to the silent majority, which is like 70% of doctors, never vote on these things. If we can reach them, and if they can cast their vote and reject this agreement, then I think we can start to look at how can we make things better? How can we look at the governance of healthcare, move the administration in a more productive area of our new economies we're trying to develop? Take those skilled people. And
Doctor, thank you.
Thank you very much.